You're listening to Elevated on Radio Pulpit. Once again, thank you so much for joining us. We really, really do appreciate it. And I'm excited to welcome to the platform our guest for the day. And I must tell you, she is beautiful. If you're watching this on YouTube, you will be able to see in a moment. She's beautiful. She's a Namibian pastor, author, ministry leader, and a businesswoman based in Windhoek, Namibia. So I'm taking you all the way to Namibia today. And together with her husband, his name is Matt, they have the privilege of serving as co-founders and senior pastors of Grace Family Church. They planted it back in 2018. We'll talk a little bit about that. And we're also going to get into not just her ministry, but her book. It's a new book. It's called Known. It was a launch back in April this year, and I can't wait for us to get into it. Vicky, good afternoon and welcome to Radio Pulpit. So good to have you with us.
Thank you so much, Janelle. I really appreciate it. It is quite exciting for me to be joining you. And I'm really looking forward to share my story and just talk about some stuff that we do have in common. Welcome from cold Namibia, but I don't think it's as cold as South Africa, but you know, still the land of milk and honey.
Absolutely. Well, I'm making my way there in August, so thank you for giving me a heads up. I need to check the weather there as well. But besides the weather, I must tell you, Vicky, when I was ministering in Namibia a couple of years ago, I remember doing some research on the churches in Windhoek and in Namibia, and your church was one of those that popped up. So I want you to take me back to not where the ministry started, but where Vicky Ludig's ministry started. Where did you know that you are called for ministry?
Still, so I have actually studied law, or I started studying law. I didn't complete it totally. Then there was a stage, you will see when you read my book, then there was a stage where I was 21 years old, and there was this orphan child, and I had no dreams that no one wakes up one morning and decides at 21, hey, let me adopt a child. So it kind of like happened to that way. And when I adopted her, I knew that I couldn't be in the line of work that I was in. Going to court and those kind of things would not have worked for our lifestyle at that stage. And I resigned 24 hours and I started working for a local church, worked my way up. And then way after that, started to study theology and actually completed my studies in theology last year. So have been actively in church, co-pastoring, and love missions. I mean, I'm not really one for standing, you know, front stage. It's more my husband's kind of thing. But I do minister with him and alongside him. But I love missions. So when I finished my degree in theology, it's where it really set the stage for ministry, for me to go into ministry. And then alongside, started writing the book at that same stage, felt that was what the Lord wanted me to do. And it has been quite a ride.
Quite a ride. Many souls saved on that ride as well along the way. I want you to take us back to that 21-year-old Vicky that you introduced us to now, adopting a child at the age of 21. You said it yourself. Nobody
it
will just wake up.
You yes. say it like that.
Nobody just goes around and decides, I think I'm going to do it. One already knows there must be some intervention by God in that. Tell us that testimony if you're able to share.
So, when you read my book, I'm just going to flick up for you like this, and I'm going to send you a few copies as well. So don't worry, you'll have them. But when you read my book, you will see that my story is it's quite a colorful one. Every one of us has a story to tell. Mine wasn't always good, and it didn't always involve ministry or the Lord or the knowing of. So I was at a very young age, felt abandoned and rejected. So did the normal thing that teenagers do, and I rebelled and went through some pretty stuff that I wish I didn't. And then at 21, this child just pops up, and she was in an orphanage, and she was already 7 by that age. By that stage, and I think it was love at first sight. By the second time I saw her, I knew that no one is going to adopt a 7-year-old. They're already beyond the stage where they really integrate with families, and they started taking her out. I was not saved by then, and then it was true intervention from God, because I realized that process of adopting, the systems are bugged, I feel, and it's a very long process, and there's lots of money and court cases involved for you to adopt a child. And fun story, they said to me that after I went through a whole year of taking her out over weekends and holidays and stuff, everyone said, fine, we can start the adoption. Everyone was involved in it. And then by the end, they're like, oh, wait, you do not differ 27 years from your adoptive child, which is what the law says. You only differ 12 years from this child. So you can only adopt if you are married. So you're gonna have to read the book to see what really happened and how I was able to get through that loophole. But God is gracious, and He has got a plan for each and every one of us. So I was able to adopt later that year. And Cindy, her name is Cindy, she has been with me. She's now 27 years old and has a baby of her own and married. She also lives here in Windhoek. So I'm actually a grandma.
Oh my goodness.
Yes, so she's a blessing. It's been difficult, and it's been prayerful, but yeah, it's the best thing that ever happened to me.
Vicky, now I don't know if I'm going to be able to wait for this book to arrive in South Africa. I'm not sure if I can. I might have to go online and just start reading if it's available online. What an incredible testimony, not just yours, but Cindy's as well. I'm sure that when she tells the testimony from her perspective, there's so much that would come out of it too. I'm wondering how she changed your life and your healing process in as far as some of that abandonment that you were referring to is concerned, Vicky.
Yeah, she did. So, once again, I made a few, not a few, I made a whole bunch of wrong decisions in my life. And, I was involved in different things, drugs, alcohol, all of it. And when I met Cindy, there was only going to be one chance. The social workers only gave me one chance. So I had to swoop up and get out of certain things. I went to rehab quite a few times, and it didn't work. But when I met Cindy, it was very quick, very fast. And it came from inside out. It didn't come from the outside in. So I just knew that I had to start making right decisions, because sending her home or back to the orphanage on a Sunday, and having that cries every Sunday because she doesn't want to be there, and she's, how long is it still going to be? And it just motivates you to start getting your life ready. And in that journey, I started going to church, and I met the Lord, and it was a radical change for me. It wasn't a slow change. It was quite a radical one. And I think in her life as well, when she started coming more permanently, I mean, we just had to be safe and be in an environment where it's safe. And what did I know at 21 about raising children? So the church really stepped up, and they were a community, a great community, and they stepped into roles. The saying, it takes a village to raise a child. I really had the firsthand experience of that.
Vicky, tell us about your journey with addiction. You touched on it now, and you also referenced the fact that your breakthrough, one would call it, your deliverance was radical. And we now understand how you got to that place of radical change and transformation. But maybe take a step back and tell us about your own personal journey with addiction.
Okay, I'm gonna try and do it without crying, okay?
Even if you do, this is a safe space. We're good.
All right, mom and dad got divorced when I was 16, though no one knew that the divorce was coming because everything was quite fine. And I got home one day and she just wasn't there and she left. So she didn't leave a note or anything. She had just left my dad and she was nowhere to be found. And I came from a straight A grade student, and there were some really good things waiting for me within leadership in school and all of those stuff because I was on the straight and narrow most of my life. And then I think with all the pain and rejection going through, mom just leaving me, not understanding, and me having to step up to look after my brothers. And my dad worked at a mine, so he only came home weekends. It quickly put me into a place where I was rebellious. There's no other way to say it. I was mad and broken, and I had wanted to experience or wanted to be released from the physical pain that I was feeling. And there's always a guy. So I dated some older boyfriend and got introduced into the worlds of drugs. And it wasn't far, it wasn't slow, it was quite fast, where that became an escape for me. And unfortunately, it became a 7-year escape. It was very long, and like I said, I went to rehabilitation quite a few times, rehabilitation center, and came out, and then just got more initiative, got more better ideas, better ways to get around it, and I'm not proud of most of the stuff that I've done. I know that the Lord has cleansed me and saved me, but there's many marks and many scars that you have because of making the wrong decisions, and it takes years to recover from that. Even God comes and heals in an instant, that He does, but the consequences of sin is evident in this world, and we can't get away from that.
Absolutely. And I like what you said, that it is a process. If anybody knows my story from experience, I will say as well, it's a process. And I love how you also bring accountability into the way that you tell your testimony, because many times it's easier for us, especially as Christians, to just deflect. We just blame the devil. The devil is
Oh,
a great
yes.
scapegoat. He's a
Yes.
very great scapegoat, and yes, life happens to us, and yes, it's painful, some of the things we've gone through. I often speak about, dealing with the rejection of my own father, etc. That's not okay that it happened to me. That's not nice. But some of the decisions I made, of course, influenced by the pain, I still have to take accountability for and live with those consequences. And as you said, it can take years. What would you say to somebody who's still struggling to, maybe not in addiction, but some of the decisions that we've made in our lives, they're struggling to take accountability for it? And until you do, you never really can
Not
heal,
set
can you?
free. Yes.
What would you say to them,
So
Vicky?
there's a lot of scriptures that you can join together so that what I would say is not from me or from experience or from, but it's actually from the word. And I mean, I can think of a few, but I would say don't give up hope. Draw closer to God. There is only one way that we get healed. We can spend 40 years in the desert, like the Israelites, for a journey that should actually only take 3 days,
Yes.
because we don't hear, because our hearts are hardened, and because we have a rebellious spirit. And we're not wasting God's time. One day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years like one day. We're wasting our time. And he loves us. He has always loved us, and he will always love us, past, present, and future tense. So, don't waste your own time by spending that much time really in the desert. It's not worth it. We build golden calves in the desert, and we do all of those funny stuff, and then we ask for a king, and then we ask for 10 commandments, and then we can't keep to the commandments. And actually, what we're doing is there's a whole generation of us that'll die out, and the next generation that decides to be faithful and obedient, they will step in. And for me, at some stage, I said, Lord, these promises are mine. They're also the generation after mine, but they are mine. And I don't want to wait 40 years. I don't want to wait one more day. I've wasted so many years of my life that I want to claim those generations for my children, for my family, for my husband, for my friends. I want it now. I don't want to wait. And I don't have to wait.
Absolutely, absolutely. Well, I must tell you, thank you so much for sharing with us today. I'm going to leave some gaps in your testimony because I want people to buy the book. So I'm going to leave some gaps, even though I
Yes.
myself, I'm very, very curious to know what happened. But what I want us to clarify for the listener or viewer, though, is how you overcame addiction, just that part, because some people really struggle. You mentioned that you found the Lord, you got saved, but what were some of the practical things that you had to implement to not continue in the same cycle, whether it was friends, whether it was habits? How did you practically break that cycle?
All right, so practically, I had to surround myself with fellow believers, and I had to choose one or two people that knows me, knows my story, that could keep me accountable, that knows the patterns of certain things that I would do, and that would always step up. And when you read my book, you would read of her. I refer to her as B in my book, which is not her real name, but she has been my support, my prayer warrior, my mother, she's stepped into so many roles, and she held me accountable in many of these situations where by a certain day of the week, that would normally be a trigger for me, she would call me in and we would do something else. Sometimes I knew that it was intentional on her side, and sometimes I really didn't know. So her family really adopted me into theirs and made sure that I have dinner there until 11 o'clock at night, and that I'm quite safe, out of certain other situations. And then I had to, unfortunately, I lost a few friends. Which at that stage in my life, they were my friends. I didn't really care that people said that they were bad for me. But obviously I had to make other decisions. And at a stage I was very lonely. I had no friends. So I had to change that. I had to really trust the Lord. Then also my inquisitiveness and my love for the Lord at that stage. It got me stuck into Bible studies and endless stuff that I wanted to know. And the more I got to know, the less hunger I had to do the stuff that I previously did. So, it wasn't a once-off stop. It took some time. There were some lapses, but the lapses were two or three, and very longer and longer and longer. And the consequences for those lapses were severe. So when the social workers came and I had to give them urine samples before they could give me Cindy for another weekend, and it was positive, then I couldn't see her for that weekend. And that just made it so much worse for me. So, because of that, I couldn't, that little face and crying, and I just, so it very quickly stopped. It very quickly stopped. So yes, there was definitely something to motivate me, something to work towards, and then unfortunately, yeah, like I say, I had to switch my friends. I had to switch. I've never set foot back in certain other areas, can't listen to certain music. I mean, it's been 15 years later, but there's still triggers and we need to guard against them. Thereby, I'm not saying once a drug addict, you'll always be one, because when God sets you free, you are free
Amen.
indeed. But
Amen.
you need to be wise. You need to not be in certain, just get out of it. I don't crave for anything of that life, but it gives me bad memories now. So if I listen to certain music or if I'm in certain situations, I need to get out of there. I know it. But the Holy Spirit is, I have the Holy Spirit and He leads me. And
Amen.
I use that. I use the voice of the Holy Spirit to just move out of certain things.
Amen. Amen. And we have to also just speak on your mother quickly. I love how you already covered some of that with the role of the lady you called B in your life. But a lot of, well, the problems for you started there. So I'm also very keen to know how you managed to heal in that regard, how that relationship went, where did it land? And I ask that because I'm also wondering whether that played a role in how you shepherd as a spiritual mother in your church today.
So my story is one of absolute redemption, not just for me or for Cindy or for my mother, because when you read my book, you will see later on in life, I reconciled with my mother and we were able to, I led my mother to the Lord.
Wow.
My mother and my father actually got back together and they spent 2 years, beautiful years together before the Lord came to take my father. My mother is still alive today and we spend every day together.
Wow.
Yes, she sleeps over on Wednesday night because I've got every Wednesday because I got twins and they want to see grandma. But my husband says it's really not grandma, it's really you want to spend time with your mother, which is very true. So my story is one of absolute redemption and restoration. God has come and He has restored everything that the locusts have stolen.
Amen.
He has really built up that relationship so good that I can't believe what the devil has really stolen from us in those 7 years. But it did teach me to shepherd, yes, and to lead and to be a mother and to be a friend and to be a daughter to the ladies in my community. Well, I tried to be. There's always someone you miss or someone that afterwards says, I really needed help. And it's quite a full church when I try and give individual attention to everyone, but I really tried to. And even if I can't see them, I write their names down and I know that the Lord says you need to pray for this one. So yes, I try and cover it in that way.
That's absolutely beautiful, Vicky, and we thank the Lord. He is amazing. He is so gracious. He's so loving. And we can trace the hand of God in your life, even through the difficult seasons. We can absolutely trace it. And now you've got this beautiful family. I see you've got seven children. Just tell us about your beautiful family and how God did all of that for you.
So Sydney is my adoptive daughter. I don't like to say adoptive daughter. Sydney is my daughter, my firstborn. And then my husband had four children from his previous marriage. And then together we have the twin boys. So we've got seven children. That
That's
is
amazing.
making life absolutely wonderful. It is a full house when it's a full house. We get to set the table and then have to put in extra chairs on the corners because the table is not big enough. And I want more. So we're always continuing in this blended family. It's really a blended family and it's a blessed family. It's really beautiful how God came and He healed and He just touched each and every one of our children's hearts, and they can't get enough of each other. And the smaller ones goes to the bigger ones because the bigger ones are also adults now, so it's quite nice, and they love each other so much. Children does build a bridge, and the bridge was built on love, and grace also builds the bridge. But since the twins have been born, the older ones have they don't They don't miss birthdays, they don't miss any other days. They just really step up and love their brothers. They do.
I absolutely love it, and I'm very tempted to also ask you for advice on blended families, but in the interest of time, I'm not going to do that. And once again, because I want people to get the book too, but I really think that there's a conversation to be had about blended families in the kingdom
Oh,
of God.
yes.
We need to
Oh,
speak about it.
yes.
I was telling my
Yes.
husband the other day, look, if you look at my schedule, I have time for nothing else at the moment, but I'm very, very tempted to have a blended family conference or blended family, I don't know, camp or something, because I feel like people don't talk about it, partly because of religion,
Yes.
partly because of misinterpretation of the word of God, partly because of shame, and because nobody wants to talk about it. Nobody's giving us the tools on how to
And yet
build.
the Bible gives us a blueprint of blended families. David, Solomon, you know, these guys, they had many wives and concubines and they all lived in one place. I mean, can you imagine the havoc of
Can you
all those
imagine?
women in one place? One husband, many wives, and many children. So with that, I'm not saying that's what God wants for us right now. One husband, many wives, but
Yeah.
I'm saying this is ancient, you know. Blended families comes from the Bible. There's stepsisters and sisters and half sisters and half brothers, and they all live together in one house. So I am very open if you want to, if we should journey a bit on it, and we'll
Thank
ask the
you.
Lord to guide us to say the right things, because it's where we stay in the day and age. There's no shame in it, no shame at
Absolutely.
all.
No shame,
All
no
children
shame.
comes directly from the hand of God, and He gives us as parents the wisdom to raise them. So how we choose to raise them, either in collaboration with our ex-wives, husbands, or whatever the stories
Yeah.
is, or against them, that's for us to choose. And God gives us the tools to do it in love. My blended
Absolutely.
family, my other parts of the husbands and wives, we all work in collaboration, and it's a beautiful thing. It really is only God's hand on it. So
Absolutely.
I can testify to that.
Absolutely. But that, what you just described, how you are working together, takes a lot of not just emotional maturity and emotional intelligence, but it takes a lot of spiritual maturity as well.
Oh,
So,
yes.
one of my mentors, Apostle Patricia Estes, always says that it's time for the grown-up church. It's time for the
Yes.
grown-up. We need mature Christians, grown-up Christians.
Oh,
And
yes.
Vicky, thank you so much for sharing that part of you. In the last few minutes, let's just, I think it's very clear that your journey is captured in this book, Known. Let's just talk about why you've penned it and how people can get their hands on it, because besides just your own personal story that is in there, it's your desire to remind people that they too are fully known and deeply loved by God. Just briefly tell us about that.
So there's a scripture in Jeremiah that says, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart." And there's scripture in Galatians that says, not that we know him, but rather that we are known by God. John confirms it when he says, "You did not choose me, but I choose you and appointed you before time." There are many scriptures. I mean, that's just a few I'm touching on. Deuteronomy says, "The Lord your God has chosen you, not because you were more numerous, but because he loved you." Isn't that beautiful? There's one in Zephaniah, which is my current favorite one, that says, "The Lord your God is with you. He takes great delight in you. And in his love, he will no longer rebuke you, but he will rejoice over you with singing." The idea of the book is for everyone to read it, get all the juicy parts, because there are some really juicy parts, and then realize that no one is too far for God. No one is. Like I said, for him, one day is like 1,000 years. He's got all the time in the world, and he won't stop pursuing you. So you may feel dirty, you may feel not good enough, or you may feel rebellious, not even that you feel that you want to know him. Maybe you've to totally hardened your heart. That doesn't mean that he will ever stop knocking. And the idea of the book, I mean, the title speaks for itself. Known is, it comes from the Old Testament and from the New Testament, and it describes the word intimacy. So the whole idea of the book is to show that all of this dirty stuff and stuff that we regret, God knows that already. And he chooses still to pursue. He chooses to come closer. And he won't stop. He won't stop until the day that we rest, because that is who he is. That is who he is. He can never change. He can also never lie. And the word that he sets out can never come back void. So when he says, "I'm coming for you," he really does mean it. Penning the book down was very difficult because I always knew God was going to ask me to tell my story. And when I started writing the book, it in the first draft was only 60 pages, and God said, "That's not what I asked you to do." So it's a very, very, very raw and honest book, and it reveals every part of my inner being to the world. And I'm not doing it because I want to make money out of it, and I'm not doing it because I want to become famous. In fact, after releasing this book, I was like, "Dear Lord, where are you going to send me that can hide me long enough so that I can just feel everyone is not looking at me?" But the idea of the book is that the testimony reaches only one person, only one person, and that person does not have a hardened heart, or God gives that person a heart of flesh. And that person returns and does another beautiful thing for the kingdom. That is my dream for this book.
And how do people, especially in South Africa, get their hands on the book?
So it is available on Amazon on Kindle Read. The paperback is also just launched, but I am going to send you a few, and then people can get them from you if that is something that you would like, because we
Absolutely.
are printing them locally here as well, because people want to read a book like this still. They
Yes,
don't want
yes.
to people don't want to download it, so we're just printing them locally, and we don't have any books left right now. They've all
Wow.
gone, but well, it'll go printing again, and then I'll send you a few. And then for the very curious readers, you can bless them with a book. And I would love to just see some feedback on it.
Definitely,
Just hear,
definitely. Well, I can
just
tell
hear, because
you,
it blesses my heart when people says, "Your story has touched my heart, and this is what's happening in my life." And then I'm like, God, everyone has such a story to tell.
We do. We absolutely do. I can tell you, I'm ending this now, and then I'm gonna go buy my copy on Amazon because I can't wait to get right into it. Vicky, thank you so much for joining us. Thank you for sharing your story. And really, once again, you are a blessing. I pray that the Lord will open more platforms for you to share your testimony and that He would amplify your voice because the nations need it. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Jimmy. Thank you very much, and may you be blessed as well.
Amen.